Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Stranger Things podcast, and this is a special presentation. Stay tuned.
Her name is Samantha Baker, and today is her 16th birthday.
Red, she's gotten her boobies.
Oh, I better go get my magnifying glass.
They forgot my birthday. Classic. This is the single worst day of my entire life.
Universal Pictures presents...
Score, a direct hit.
16 Candles.
You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too.
The story of a girl who's stuck with a guy who's driving her crazy.
Nice manners, babe.
And stuck on a guy she's crazy about.
Who's Jake?
Jake Ryan?
Jake's my boy.
Jake is a senior, and he's beautiful and perfect.
He doesn't even know you exist.
I don't say anything. Can't believe I'm such a jerk.
You quit feeling sorry for yourself. It's bad for your complexion.
You know Samantha Baker? Kids are looking at me a lot. It's kind of cool the way she's always looking at me.
Maybe she's retarded.
What's happening, the hot stuff?
His name is Long Duck Dong.
Nothing could shock me anymore.
Underpants.
Can I borrow your underpants for 10 minutes?
Girls' underpants.
Rock and roll rubbish.
Everybody in this family has just gone totally out of limits.
You guys, you just gotta be cool. You just gotta chill out and just be cool. Just watch me.
Why, you little scuzzbag.
I'll let you take Carolyn home. She's so blitz, she won't know the difference.
Jake, I don't have a car.
You can take mine.
Anything else terrible happens.
She's stuck between a halfwit.
Very hot, very hot.
And a heartbreaker.
I want a serious girlfriend. Somebody I can love. It's gonna love me back.
Pretty intense, huh? Over.
Everyone she knows is either on her case.
You know you're the one I want to buy, huh?
Or out of their tree.
Bonsai!
It only happens once in a lifetime.
This has got to be a joke.
And once is enough.
Happy birthday, Samantha.
This is getting good.
16 Candles.
Are you excited about today?
Oh, so excited and nervous.
I love it. It's a great combination. So today I have organized a theme that I have not told Tony yet, and we'll be going through a set of information and having his first reaction to the information.
I'm going in completely blind. I have no idea what's going on. This is going to be a totally different episode for me because I have no control whatsoever. So it's going to be like,
How does that make you feel, Tony?
I have no control. I hate it.
But you're also, you know, pretty interested, right? Like, you want to know what's going on.
In the words of Papa, I'm doing all of this for you.
Oh, wow. Totally not creepy at all. Totally not creepy at all. It's fine. It's fine.
Anyone that knows me knows this is a little bit of just a little bit of creep there.
Yeah. Creep factor? Like maybe 15% creep factor?
Not that much. Come on.
Okay. So the last couple of episodes, we've been going through questions that we want, questions, issues, ideas that we want answered by the end of the final season. So I thought it would be fun to go ahead and walk through the romantic side of Stranger Things and look at the different sets of couples or potential couples and decide how we like them, how we feel about them, our feelings, and then if we feel like they will walk out of the series together and they have a future together.
Okay. That's great.
All right. So we're going to start with a, I'm going to, in no particular order, but I feel like I'm going to start with sort of side characters or lesser known characters or, you know, like, couples we haven't seen very much of, and then work our way to the big ones. So the first one I have on deck is Argyle and Eden.
Oh, one of my favorite couples. I love the, just his reaction to her upon first seeing her, and Eden just, she's like, she's got this darker part of her, but it's just like all that melts away, and then they have this. I love. Just the dynamic between the two of them.
Right.
I think they will be one that lasts forever, one of the relationships that lasts for a long time, for a very long time.
I mean, do you think we'll see them, or is this just going to be an inferred, or is this going to be like when we do the wrap up and the credits, we see them walking, you know, into the sunset? Like, what do you think?
I think we may see them again. Very briefly, maybe towards the very end of the fifth season, as we're, you know, wrapping up all these stories. I think we'll definitely see that. And I definitely think, you know, like, I made this whole episode about Argyle not coming back, and of course it's been reported, but then things have changed, and I think he was just too big of, you know, he was a huge part of season four, and I think they're going to bring him back, and I don't think he's going to have a huge part in season five because of the way everything went down, you know, and of course he's in California and they are, you know, in Hawkins. So I think we definitely are going to see him again, but it's going to be a very brief scene, just like you were saying, at the very end of season five.
Okay. Which dovetails really nicely into Dustin and Susie, almost the polar opposite of the Argyle and Eden, you know, the sort of laid back, fun, maybe a little darker on Eden's side to Dustin and Susie. Susie's hyper religiousness, their hyper nerdiness. What do you think there?
Right. I loved just the way they like paired these characters together. You know, Dustin's definitely this, you know, he's more science driven, and then Susie's on the other side. She's more religious and faith. And I just, but yet she's willing to do these things that are, you know, definitely morally gray, and I think their we definitely will see them, because they've been teasing her for two seasons, and although you know it's all about the logistics of her living in Idaho, is Idaho or Utah? It's sterile.
Anyway, not in Hawkins. And
yeah, not for, in Hawkins. You know, there you go.
And for teens in the 80s, a long distance relationship minus Cerebro, that's hard to navigate.
Right? That was like, I mean, it was just like almost impossible. I mean, just long distance calling, let alone, you know, traveling, which
right?
You saw a little bit of that, but
I think they're definitely going to be together. I don't know if that relationship is going to be one that's long lasting. Unfortunately, just because of their ages for one, and secondly, just because of distance and circumstances, and who knows what's going to happen in season five. I don't want to put out any, you know, negative connotations of what may or may not happen, but I think she's possibly going to come to Hawkins.
But I don't
see their relationship lasting outside of season five, unfortunately.
Oh. Well, let's move on to potentially a bigger love match. We don't see hardly any of the relationship on screen, but I'm rooting for them. Robin and Vicky.
Oh, definitely. And because of the time, it's going to be very, very hard. But Stranger Things has done that well as far as dealing with LGBTQ, you know, those type of relationships and just the content itself, but just on the merits of their relationship and their bond, definitely gonna last. Definitely. Definitely. Right. I see it because it's just this constant instant match between the two of them that's constantly going back and forth, and you can see the love between them, even without saying that and professing it. And we definitely saw that at the end of season four. So I definitely, right. Are they going to have a hard road, you know, hard road to go down? Yeah, definitely.
Right. But
I definitely see them long-term.
Steve sitting there and watching them at the end there, you know, and just, you know, I feel like we are sitting with Steve and watching and just 100% cheering them on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I just love the look he had when they were in the, gym? I think,
right.
At the school. Yeah. They were doing
sort of the emergency staging location.
Yeah, that was just great. And just that look and just the music and everything. Yeah, it was great. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really liked it. It was a light, heartfelt moment in a time period that not very much felt light and heartfelt. So it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, definitely.
So those are my soft pitches so far. Everybody else on, we get to some major characters, major relationships. So I hope you're warmed up and ready to go.
I've got my coffee here. And
all right. All right. So one of my favorite couples, Lucas and Max.
Yeah. Favorite. Definitely will last. But that's contingent on what happens.
Right.
But I don't. Oh, man. That's. And I definitely think they will be together. First of all, I love their relationship. And like I said, it's another, not so hard, but it's a harder relationship in the time period.
Right.
But I think they definitely will last. And with Max, she's got a lot that she's going through, right? She's in a coma. She's blind. You know, several limbs were broken, and of course she can come back from broken limbs, but the eyesight thing, I don't know if maybe or undoing from 11 somehow, some way of some of those events. I don't think she's going to die, and I know that's kind of like diving into a really dark subject on something that's supposed to be light.
Definitely gonna obviously affect the relationship a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think it'll make it stronger, you know, him having to deal with someone who maybe is disabled. And of course, they have one of the best relationships. And it's a truer reflection of a relationship and the dynamics in it and how that would actually work. And just, you know, Max being so strong and you know, pretty much Lucas just unfortunately being a typical guy, his reactions, and you know, just I just love their relationship. And I don't think the Duffer Brothers would have kept her around and just like teased the whole death thing, you know, with and then just to kill her off in season five. I just see that happening. It just doesn't make sense. So yeah.
Well, and I feel like Lucas, his character has went through so much growth, and with Max, we see some of that foundational Lucas of immense patience and immense warmth and nurturing. And every time he interacts with Max, that is out, regardless of it. If it, you know, he's on the basketball team and everything else, you know, you watch how that sort of, I want to be a cool guy, you know, things are growing apart, but then as soon as Max enters the picture,
yeah,
it is foundational Lucas again. It's not the rest of that teenage angst coming in. So I feel like you said, their connection is very uncomplicated in a very complicated time, and right, with Max's own complications, both in her life before anything happened in Hawkins, then adding the situation with Billy on top of it, and now this next thing, she's going to need somebody with that foundational warmth and patience. So Lucas is an obvious match for that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just his emotions when she was dying in that attic and he was calling out to Erica, and just the shrillness in his voice and just the emotion there is like, this is not just teen, you know, like you were saying, angst and just, right, you know, these high emotions as they're going in your teen years. This was something more. And though that was one of my favorite scenes from the entire series, was that scene where he's calling out to Erica and he's saying help, and just, oh my god, I get thinking about that, just that whole scene. And yeah, definitely see them for the long haul.
Okay. I'm hopeful for them, because you know, I love both the characters, and I just want Max to be okay, so I'll agree. Next, the Wheelers are taking over the conversation.
Okay.
So we have quite the combination of folks here. We will... let's start with Steve and Nancy.
Okay. Oh, Steve and Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely see them getting back together if they're not already. It's kind of like they're in this in-between spot, because I know there's Nancy and Jonathan, right? But this, I don't know, the separation and just them going to two separate places, it really bodes well for our Steve, and his growth, of course, as we've seen, is, you know, it's been dramatic over the last couple of seasons. Tremendous, rather. It's some more coffee here.
You made a new word with tremendous and dramatic.
Yeah. There you go. There you mm-hmm. go. It's in the Webster's dictionary. No, but I think that they will definitely last, like I said, just on because of the character development and growth of both of them. Nancy and Steve, and they're seeing each other. Just the whole scene where they're in the Winnebago, the RV, and they're just going down the road, and he's telling her his dreams, and then later on in the forest, in the upside down forest, where he's telling her slightly before they, you know, interrupted before Robin kind of like gets in, you know,
yeah, in the middle. She third wheels it very nice.
Yeah. he's like, damn it. He's like, I was really getting ready to get someone out here. And it's just like, okay. Yeah, you can just see the frustration on his face, because he's getting ready to just lay it all out. And,
right.
You know, and like I said, we just get a couple of moments like that where it's like, I think that's where it's going. But I definitely see them for the long haul, just based on the development and just the, you know, just the growth of the two of them, for sure.
And so I'm going to save my opinion on the two of them because it really rests on the Jonathan-Nancy conversation. And so you said that you feel like the distance hurt and kind of pulled them apart a little bit.
Yeah, because, you know, because of, and it wasn't just the distance, right? It was just the way he was reacting to her, and he wants completely different things at this point. You know, it just seems like he wants completely different things. Like, she wants to go to this college, he wants to go to this college, he doesn't want to pay, and he doesn't want her not to go to this college because he makes his decision. And there's just all these just unknown things that he's navigating, and he's just so unsure about everything because he realizes that the choices that he makes will affect her, and or she will make choices based on what he's doing, and he doesn't want that. And, you know, it's, that's the main core issue with them. And I just, and it, even towards the end, there just seemed to be some distance because she, Nancy even defended Steve when Jonathan, you know, said, you know, something a little bit, you know, it was kind of like throwing a little bit of shade or whatever, but I don't know. It with them, it just seems like it's just not going to work out. And it's just going
and
to
be- see, I don't know. In my mind, that is not sure to me. I feel like we discussed the Susie Dustin situation with long distance.
Yeah.
And you know, here they're encountering that quite a bit. Then throw in the age that they are, and throw in the immense amount of responsibility that Jonathan has always felt to take care of his mom, to take care of Will, and then to take care of Nancy, like,
right.
You right. know, like, and that's what he's doing when he wants Nancy to succeed in all the ways he can see her ability to succeed is, and he does not want to be the one that holds her back. And so that kind of love for somebody, that's big love right there, that they would sort of sacrifice their own needs in order to see her succeed. And I feel like, let's take out the upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And we just look at the decisions Nancy would have to make if she were going to base them solely on these two young men. Steve really wants the big family and everything else, which would significantly change Nancy's life, where Jonathan only wants her to succeed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, in the 80s, walking into decisions like that, even right now, walking in decisions like that, where you have the needs of two very different futures for Nancy. And I would argue that Jonathan's future, which is allowing Nancy to sort of be exactly who she can be, would trump Steve's future, even though I appreciate how he loves Nancy. Imagining her with a bucket full of kids would mean, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Is she going to be this person that she could be? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And looking at it from that angle as well, it just, you know, the same thing that would drive her into Jonathan's arms would be the exact same thing that would take her away from his arms. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's a hard one. And that's why I say with them, are they great together as a couple? I mean, I go back to those first scenes that we see them, you know, because Jonathan, he's pretty much almost somewhat of a character like Eddie, which I don't think he ever met Eddie. Is that crazy to even say?
Yeah, that is insane. Right, I mean, maybe they knew each other just. I mean, Hawkins isn't a huge town. They were similar age. You know what I mean? Like the idea that, you know, they could have went to grade school together or something like that is totally possible. But yeah, we don't know that.
Yeah. Because based on what we learned about, you know, Jonathan earlier on, we just saw that, you know, he was almost anti-establishment too. And he definitely would have probably fit more into the realms of where Eddie was to not to get off, you know, off topic here, but yeah, you just see that, and I'm like, and then I see his relationship between him and Nancy, and how, you know, when they were shooting, and he could, you know, he shot like shit, and you know, and she was just like, yeah, just one can, you know, but yeah, like I said, the same things that draw them together would be the same things that unfortunately would tear them apart. But would she be happy with Steve? I don't know. Like long term, like maybe immediately, of course. But then looking down the road, 5 years, 10 years, maybe that changes.
I don't know. I feel like the two of them are two sides of a coin where you'd open very different doors. So I don't know. We'll see. But I do appreciate both Jonathan and Steve for very different reasons.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. Cause I can see the whole artistic side of Jonathan, and, you know, of course he would be more of a pot smoker. which is not a bad thing. Right. You know, you do what you do. You do what you do. Cause I'm the one to talk, you know, but yeah, it's just, you know, cause I remember myself at that age is like, I can imagine hanging out with an Argyle, you know, being anti-establishment. So yeah.
Okay, so we'll see what happens with these three. But another Wheeler we have is Mike, and Mike and 11 is the obvious choice. I mean, season one, right? We start out their friendship and then move forward. What do you think about these two?
Okay, so I'm going to say something that is highly, highly unpopular. Okay, so just to kind of like give a little bit of, well, I'm just going to jump into it. I don't particularly care for their relationship, never have, and I don't know what it is. And even the actress, Millie Bobby Brown, even she said she doesn't particularly care for the relationship or just the character 11 herself. So it's just like, so based on, do I think they will last? Based on everything that they've gone through and just their intense love for one another and just the whole monologue that Mike had over her when they were, when she was in Vecna's lair and he was saying, I love you. And he really hadn't said it. And it was so hard for him to, you know, but he was younger in season three, right? When they were in the store and he was trying to get that out, you know, he's kind of like fumbling around and everything. But they've gone through a lot, and he's always had this intense love for her from the very beginning, from when they first, you know, found her, you know, E.T. style in the woods. So yeah, because even everyone else was like, you know, she's, you know, blah 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 blah, and you know, Lucas is always, you know, a little bit cynical about everything, and but I really, really like their, I really like the way they treat each other and the way they build each other up. Even in the toughest of times, even when she's feeling really bad about herself, like there was the one episode, I think it was in episode, I think maybe one, maybe two of season four, where she's, you know, she's the monster or something like that. And this was before she even, you know, the whole incident, you know, in the skating ring, with Angela. And it was just before all that, but then that kind of like further, compiled on that. And it just made their relationship a little bit tricky during that time because she was feeling some kind of a way about herself. And you got to think, you know, of her perspective of herself. Like, she was basically, I think, kind of like said it somewhat, like she was a bit of a, she felt like a lab rat. Oh, was it someone else? Someone else that said something to that effect. I'm like, that's a bad feeling, you know, to have about yourself. And he's always trying to build her up. You're this wonderful. And so I love those aspects of their relationship. But do I particularly care for it? Not as much. But do I think they will last long term? Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I feel like they, I mean, there's a couple of hurdles that obviously every single couple we have here, age being one of them.
Right.
Like you said, Jane Eleven's background in, I mean, and you can tell, regardless of how she ages and how much she moves forward, she's still just socially a little bit off. But of course she is, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, like, I mean, like, these are things that she herself is moving through. So, of course, them together are also moving through that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, you know, like, the obvious tie the bow, you know, like everything wrapped up quite nicely would be them together. Is that the right choice? You know, do we see them at the what's happened in 20 years from Hawkins as a couple? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
yes. I don't know. So, okay. So we'll move on to the alternate dimension of Will and Mike.
Okay. Will and Mike. this is an absolute not going to happen. And I know most people are shipping it. And it's because they're at play here. First, you know, you have the sexuality of Mike, who is not, you know, gay. So you have that. So that's the first line. Like, just this, I mean, just not even including anything else, just that right there. It's like, if you're not attracted to someone, you're not attracted to them. And it doesn't matter how much that other person feels for you. I know a lot of people are trying to ship this, and like, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, is there going to be maybe another character that's introduced? But they said they're not going to introduce any new characters. So.
And, you know, what I would like to see is this resolved in a way that gives Will the ability to move forward. Because I agree. They're not a couple now. They make the list simply because I feel like it's worthy to talk about it. But they're not a couple now, and they won't be a couple, like you said. But the amount of heartbreak that Will carries because of this situation is big. I mean, Jonathan watching him and seeing, you know? You can see it. So I would love for the relationship that comes out of this is their enduring friendship, where Will can move on from this and it be, you know, the questions be answered, and for him to set some of that heartache down, and for them to be able to be friends without it hurting Will the way it hurts Will right now.
You know, I just piggybacking on it a little bit, no pun intended there, there were a couple of times throughout the season, especially season 4, and maybe kind of like alluding to it a little bit, and maybe season 2 and 3, where Mike kind of senses this a little bit. You know, he said, you know, it's not my fault you don't like girls, when they were getting to a little bit of an argument. And then later on, he's, you know, they're in season 4, they're out in the desert, and the agent had just died, and they're burying him, and they're on the back of the car, and he's, you know, Will comes up to him, and Mike's like, what are you doing? It's like these little subtle things, and it's like, in the way he looks at him, it's like he knows something else is going on. And I'm afraid that if Will just completely comes out and says that, hey, I like you, I love you, will it really ruin their relationship, this their friendship? you know.
I hope not.
Yeah, and I just don't know.
I feel like maybe we've turned a little bit of a corner, I hope, in the way that they were so awkward around each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, even when Mike says, you know, it's like, not my fault you don't like girls. I don't know that he was saying that in a you like guys way, but more of a you're not, yeah. you know, like, you're not there yet. You're not interested in it. So I don't know that Mike has, like, clicked for him that that this is what it is. So, man, I don't know. Like, this is just me needing some things to go right. And for me to want horribly for Will to just be okay. Like, yeah. man.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen the struggles of this kid. And now being there where he can feel Vecna all the time. And then to lose his best friend, like... Please don't.
and just to kind of like go back to the point of, you know, he, you know, when Mike was saying, you know, it's not my fault you don't like girls, you know, that can definitely be interpreted so many different ways. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so it didn't right. necessarily have to mean that, because it can be like, oh, you know, what do you think we're going to be in the basement, you know, playing D&D for the remainder of our, you know.
And Will, like, yeah. very honestly, was like, yeah, actually, yeah, man, I did.
Yeah, I thought this was going to always be a thing, and it's like, right. turn up, and yeah, we've just seen the, you know, evolution of all the characters throughout
yeah.
this, and it's a depiction of how things actually
happen. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Very fast, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, our last and final, the biggest and the best.
Okay.
We have okay. Hopper. We have Hopper and Joyce.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing's going to go wrong. Everything's going to go great. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm just so happy with where they are. I'm so, you know what I mean? Like, we were so close to where we are so many times. And yeah. now, like, we're finally here. And I'm so happy they intensely need each other and bring out the best in each other. So, and can handle each other, because both of them are not very straightforward characters. No, you know what I mean? Not a lot of people could handle Joyce in the way that she's like, hey, this needs to be done. And Hopper's like, no, we're not doing it. And she's gone doing it already. Like, you know, like, oh my God, Joyce, really?
Like, really? You know what I mean? Like, can we not even talk about this?
Right.
There have been a lot of times where you could just see, like, this goes to the acting of Jim Hopper. It was just like all these scenes where you just see him like, what are you doing? Just the facial mm-hmm. expressions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's no, boring. I mean, like, Joyce always hits my top three characters because, like, there's nothing she wouldn't do for her kids. And she's not accepting the role that people want to put her in as a mom or a woman. Like, she's going to get this done. And what, no matter the danger she puts herself in, no matter the situations, is she flying off half-cocked most of the time? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, Joyce, same, man. Like, if I were in that situation, you better believe that I would be right next to you and we would be getting this shit done.
Oh yeah. It's like, yep. You don't have to worry about me. This is happening.
No. Like you're not gonna help me figure out what the danger is to my kids. You're not gonna help me figure out where my kid is. Like, that's fine. It's cool. Like, you know, like, I sure would like your help, and I'm going to ask for your help continuously. Because she's not shy. She'll ask for help. But also right? she's still gonna do it. The answer is never no. The answer is just how do I get there? Are you going to come or not? You decide.
Okay. So I have a question. Since we're talking about Joyce and Jim and their relationship, do you think that it would have been like, how do you think the dynamic would have played out if Bob Newby was still around?
I don't know. I don't know. Because as much as I liked Bob, and as much as gentle and, you know, like that, he was a very, he didn't have as many sharp edges as Hopper does.
Right.
However, in the current situation and the situations that they find themselves in, like, while Bob was on board and willing to help could have he ever survived? Let's pretend he survived past where he did not survive. Could he continue to survive? Could he continue to follow Joyce into these situations? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And
I mean, yeah. in a world where, again, we take out the upside down, Bob was a solid choice for Joyce. Just because it was something that added something to her and the kids' life that they didn't have. But in their reality, she needed more than what Bob was, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob was definitely that it was definitely that safer choice, if you will.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, he added a bit of security and comfort there, but Jim offers that exact same thing, although he has his demons, and he has his things that he's dealt with. Of course, you know, all these different things that he's gone through within his own personal life, and, you know, losing, you know, his child and going through, and, you know, and although Joyce didn't lose a child, you know, she lost Will for, you know, a while, and that's what spurred her on for a lot of these things. And they have that connection. Yeah. You know, one of the great things I liked when I saw Jim is just his reaction to, you know, flipping in season one, in those first couple episodes when Will goes missing, and he goes from not taking it seriously whatsoever at all to, oh shit, this kid's missing. He lost his bike, just that one thing, and that was like the linchpin for everything, and it sparked, and you could see it like in his eye, like everything just changed. And
even for him personally, the decisions he himself was making for himself in his life, things took a turn right there.
Right. Everything is like, nope, I'm no longer going to do this. This is, you know, all these things are on the back burner. And yeah, it really fully developed character and really real, if you will.
You know, like, it's almost a little bit better that he is gentle and protective and everything else, because you have to sort of, he's not that way, obviously. Like, he's that way with Joyce, for Joyce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, 11. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like, outside of those two, like, well, and, you know, I'm guessing he's going to throw all of Hopper's crew in there with that situation, right?
Like, yeah, Mike and everyone else. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Even though, you know, Mike makes him want to pull out all of his hair. But, you know.
there was that one moment at the end of season four of like, oh, they never really had a moment like this where he lost a little weight. And, oh, yeah, I just love that whole
thing. Yeah, me that was too. Scenes. But I just like, you know, like, Bob was obviously that way. Obviously, just the first second you saw him, you're like, yeah, you know, that's him. He's gentle, caring, everything else. And Hopper, you kind of had
he's got an edge. Yeah.
Yeah. And holy cow, he needs that edge. Nancy too, but Joyce needs that edge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, otherwise, I'm thinking Joyce would have probably walked all over Bob in the end.
Yeah. You need someone with just a little bit of edge, just enough pushback every once in a while. Not disrespectfully, but like, hey, this is not okay. And, you know, Hopper definitely has that.
Right. It has to match. You have to match. So, like, not only is he going to have to be, you know, willing to follow Joyce into whatever craziness she gets herself in, but obviously Joyce flipped the script this time and she followed Hopper into whatever mess he found himself in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, she was, it wasn't even a second thought.
Not even.
No. No. So, like, I appreciate the two of them. And, you know, like, almost of any character that I want to make it out whole and together, like, those are the ones I have underlined and highlighted.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Hopper, like, out of everyone.
Yeah. I think maybe too is because they're adults, and I can sort of see them. Do you know what I mean? Like they're at the point in their lives and in relationship decision making that they can be like, no, man, it's you forever. And you can see that happening. Where it's a little bit harder for me to see that with some of these a lot younger kids, because they, you know, like, while they've been through a lot, they still have the rest of their lives. So yeah,
they're so, especially the ones that are in the younger teens. Maybe they're you know, going to college, maybe more, but they're still 5 years away from making any like major decisions, you know, like that, you know. So, and you're still learning yourself during that time too,
which we can see. We see all these characters continually being faced with situations, both normal and not, that causes them to look at themselves and make decisions on how they're going to react and how they're going to move forward.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
So, well, thanks for playing with me.
Yeah. Great. Great. Totally unprepared for this. I'm, you know, everyone jokes I'm always the guy that's always prepared, and it's like, nope, I'm totally unprepared. Just, you know, yeah. So you opened up a vulnerability for me. It's not something I do.
I know. I appreciate you playing with me and coming along for the ride. But yeah, like I felt like this is a fun way to think about all the characters as we move into this last season. So yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we've got that 100th episode that I've been teasing for about 2 weeks now. That we're gonna really start diving into it this coming week. So it's gonna be a monster. Like I said, it's gonna be nearly 3 hours. So that's gonna be fun. So we'll be working on that. And had some sidebar episodes, some special presentations between now and then. So And thank you so much.
Thank you. See you next time.
See you next time. And I'll see you in the Upside Down.
On the other side.